And now, it's time for World of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy, going around the globe through international shortwave and heard on a number of your local AM, FM radio stations. Well, as you know, we have many wonderful guests on World of Prophecy, but this program, I believe, is special. It's special basically because of two reasons. First of all, is the guest. He's a man that I respect deeply, a man who has made more of an impact for God than I don't know of anyone else on the face of the earth that has done more for the Word of God than this gentleman. Now, he would never say that himself because he's a Christian man. He doesn't toot his own horn, but I'm going to say it for him, and I'm going to thank our Lord Jesus Christ for this gentleman that I'll introduce to you in just a moment. The second reason why I think this program is the one, friends, you better pull up your chairs around that radio set and listen very closely, and then you're going to want to later on order the audio tape of this program. The reason why this program is so important is because it will tell you what is going on in terms of the war on God's Word. We're going to be defending the very Word of God from the greatest evil forces in really practically all of human history, and they're gathering today. And you'll want to know about it because it has terrific prophetic significance. And I think you're going to learn some things today that, boy, if I had a pen and paper, I'd get it ready. You're going to want to take down some notes, and you'll be blessed as we defend God's Word, the King James Bible, and expose the counterfeits on World of Prophecy. My guest is Dr. Peter Ruckman. He is a teacher, a preacher out of Pensacola, Florida. He has a tremendous newsletter. I'll tell you, when I read the bulletin, it tells the truth about the Roman Catholic doctrines. But best of all, it tells the truth about the King James Bible. Dr. Peter Ruckman, welcome to World of Prophecy.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Dr. Ruckman, you have taken it upon yourself, after God called you, to courageously defend the Bible. And I'll tell you, one of the marks, I think, of a man of God is the kind of opposition he gathers. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people out there that are angry at Dr. Peter Ruckman, Arthur.
Yeah, there are.
You know, they call you anyone who believes like you do, of whom I am one, a Ruckmanite and a member of the King James cult.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume you look in the mirror sometimes, and if you weren't so angry at these fakes out there, you probably do a lot of smiling, huh?
Oh, yes.
There's a recent gentleman who wrote a column. Somebody sent it to me. I think he's out of Pasadena, Texas, named Bob Ross. And I understand you had a debate. By the way, this guy, I guess he can't stand the King James Bible. Doesn't believe very much in Bible prophecy either. But evidently you debated him, and some good friends of mine, Dr. Samuel Gipp, for one, told me that, well, I'm just putting it in his words, he said you demolished Mr. Ross simply because you knew the Bible and he didn't.
Well, we have a tape online. It's called Bob Ross, the Predestinated Savior.
Oh.
And that's obtained from the bookstore of anybody.
Wow. There is a video on this, then.
A two-hour video.
Okay. I later in the program, I want to tell folks how to get that. In other words, you actually had a debate on the King James.
Well, it wasn't really a debate. We asked the fellow to come to our church. He'd made some very rash threats and things about what he could do, so we put him on. We put him on for about an hour and a half to field Bible questions and let our students just ask him Bible questions. and let him have the floor to see whatever he wanted for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a first-rate mess, and it's on video, and anybody can see it and check it.
Uh-huh. Well, now, does the video include you sort of pointing out a little bit of the mess that he made?
Well, at the beginning, I read what he professed he was going to do, read his mail, calling everybody a heretic, and people be the King James Bible, the Word of God was a cult, how he's going to demolish them, how he's going to do this and that, and then turn him loose. I left him half the time.
Isn't that something? Just let the guy talk and, I guess, hang himself, sort of.
Their own grave.
That is really... Yeah, Dr. Ruckman... You know, you really, I believe you're the central person that God has called to defend the Bible. Why is it that you have such a hunger and a yearning to defend God's Word?
Well, I didn't ask for the calling, and frankly, I enjoy drawing chalk talks and getting people saved more than I do actually writing apologetics and military stuff. I don't particularly enjoy polemic literature, but God wants me to do it, so I do it. And my start was very simple. I had a college education without being saved. I was taking Catholic convert courses from a PhD from Lower University of Jesuit Priest when I was saved. And before that, I'd studied Buddhism in the Orient. So I had a thorough background in all kinds of religions. And when I got saved through reading a stolen Bible. And no human instrumentality was involved. I got saved reading the book. And although I had a college education, I'd never read a Bible. I'd read the Sutras and the Vedas, the Shastras, the Puranas, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Tripitaka, the Hindu and Muslim literature, and the Buddhist literature, but I'd never read a Bible. And when I got a hold of that book, I'd only read perhaps one book a day since I was 10 years old, and still do. When I got hold of that book, I was struck by the fact immediately that it was unlike any book I'd ever picked up in my life. And I was literally found Christ through reading the King James Bible.
Mm.
And because of that, of strong belief in it, for it did for me, when I went off to college at Bob Jones University and they tried to talk me out of my belief in it, I didn't believe what I was taught. I checked them out. And the more I checked, the more I found out they were lying to me, and eventually I found the pig in the poke.
Hmm. In other words, you started out with the so-called philosophical literature, the ancient wisdom literature, the Vedas, the Buddhist texts,
the Hindu texts. Well, I went back to Nirvana and Samadhi and Prajna and the whole works, the Oriental religions.
But you didn't understand salvation. Your life was not transformed by these man-made textbooks.
Until I got hold of the King James Bible.
Well, praise God. Well, the King James Bible. You went to Bob Jones. They taught something different. You know, we just got a letter in today from, very sadly, the international headquarters of the Salvation Army. And they're talking about all the eras in the King James and how the new versions are so much more scholarly. Now, you're a scholarly man. You're a great scholar. You studied all these things. But you're convinced that the King James is the pure Word of God only.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's my unpardonable sin. Now, you see, these fellows would forgive me if I was just an unlettered hillbilly or a redneck. They'd overlook my position. Well, I have taught Greek and Hebrew for 18 years and hold a master's degree and earned a PhD. And I've read all the stuff they have read and know what they know, and they know I know what they know.
Mm.
And when it comes to this matter of errors in the King James Bible, we have a standard debate format set up for anybody who wants to debate errors in the King James Bible. And only one man has ever called or handled it. His name was Gary Hudson. And we have that on tape. And he bombed out. And when it comes to errors in the King James Bible, a man has to prove. We take the American position, the laws of jurisprudence, that the culprit is innocent till proved guilty. And these fellows are taking the position the King James Bible is guilty till proved innocent. So when we talk to them, we say, if you want to prove us error in the King James Bible, send the list of the errors you're going to prove, and then we'll meet with you and give you a chance to prove them.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever shows up.
Well, you know, the folks out there pushing the new versions, could these people really be called scholars?
Well, they're not biblical scholars. You might say some of them are Greek or Hebrew scholars, or some of them are linguists or ethnologists or etymologists or manuscript detectives, but they're not biblical scholars. If a man was a biblical scholar, he'd know the Bible.
Mm.
And these fellows are some of the biggest Bible blockheads you ever saw. You take a man like Dr. A.T. Robertson, who wrote the monumental Greek grammars and used it as a textbook for all the Christian schools. That fellow couldn't find the judgment seat of Christ in the Bible. He couldn't find the millennial reign of Christ in the Bible. He couldn't find the restoration of Israel. Dr. A.T. Robertson was a great Greek scholar, really with a theological seminary, but like J. Gresham Machen and B.B. Warfield and Kenneth Wiest and the Spiritus Odiatus and other Greek scholars, when it came to knowing the Bible, he was a blockhead.
Well, you know, this is what is so amazing to me. Recently, I was at a prophecy conference up in Niagara Falls, Canada, Dr. Ruckman, and I talked about the subject of these I call them the occult Bible versions. Gail Whiplinger has called them the New Age Bible versions.
Sure.
But rather than arguing for Whiplinger's book or any man-made book, I simply did what you just recommended there, and that is compare the words of the Bible. Now, the newer versions, the NIV, the NAS and RSV, you go on all the alphabet Bibles, I call them, these Bibles have horrible omissions.
Maybe
we should go back and look at the sources. Where did these false versions come from? Because a lot of people out there, I know listening to us, they use the NIV or one of these false Bibles, and they're going to be saying, hey, where does this Dr. Ruckman get off telling us that our Bibles are bad? I mean, maybe we should tell them, Dr. Ruckman, from your research, your scholarly research, where did their false Bibles come from?
Well, I don't stand alone as much in my research as some of them think. Now, I may take a very strong position on the English text, but when it comes to knowing the manuscript evidence and the textual criticism behind the newer versions, I've got an army behind me just like they do, except they kind of have what's called an isolated mentality, and they're not only familiar with their own group.
Mm.
William Bergen from ATA that opposed Westcott North has all this material. Miller and Scribner, two English scholars, have all this material. Dr. Edward Hills, who was a graduate of Princeton and Harvard, has all this material. And the material all checks, and these new Bibles, the new International Version especially, and the new American Standard Version especially, and the new Revised Standard Version are taken mainly from two corrupt Greek manuscripts that are unsealed, that are block capital manuscripts, called Sinaiticus and Thaticanus. And these two manuscripts contain an Old Testament in Greek as well as a New Testament in Greek and are often referred to as the Septuagint. But Sinaiticus and Thaticanus were not written until 330 A.D., which is long after the New Testament is complete, so they couldn't be called a real pre-Christian Septuagint. They were written later. And those readings you find, the NIV and the ASV and these others, they come from those two manuscripts. Notable among the worst places of them are things like John 1:18, where he says, no man has seen God at any time, at any time the only begotten God, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That reading is found in Vaticanus, and that reading there says there is a begotten God and an unbegotten God. No man has seen God, one, at any time, the only begotten God, two. He, one, hath declared him, two. That makes two gods, one begotten and one unbegotten. That's a Jehovah Witness Arian teaching. And every fundamental confession of every Protestant Catholic church in the world has always condemned that as a heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in those Greek manuscripts.
Wow, so this is the root of a great heresy here,
the
ancient Arian heresy brought back to life in the 19th century, but especially in the 1990s, since, according to bookstore reports, the King James is now the second bestseller, and this horrible NIV is the first. What you've seemed to have come to the crux of it, who is Jesus? And evidently these false versions totally pervert the identity of God himself.
You can always spot them, but their alibi for that will be this. The fundamentalists who promote these Bibles will say, well, you can find the fundamentals of the faith somewhere in these Bibles, and you can find all the fundamentals somewhere. So they'll immediately turn to a verse in their Bible that does prove the deity of Christ. But this is a sick kind of rationale. This is saying, if you can find the truth somewhere in the book, it's all right to pervert it in a number of places.
Mm.
And we don't take that position. You take the New King James Version, it'll call Jesus Christ God's servant instead of his child. In Acts chapter 4, that's an attack on the deity. And the NASB and the NIV and the rest of them will say in Luke chapter 2:33 that Joseph is Christ's father, and that's an attack on the deity. And the ASV and the RSV have taken the word God out of 1 Timothy 3:16 on the incarnation, and that's an attack. Now, what they're saying is it's all right to attack the deity of Christ in four or five places as long as you can find it in some other place.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't go.
No, it doesn't go.
No.
A little leaven leavens the whole lump.
There you go. You know, it's so interesting. A gentleman came to me, and Dr. John Ankerberg, many years ago, he worked for Spiros Zodiates, and then he began his own TV program, affiliated with this CRI group, Christian Research Institute out of California, that are pro-Catholic and very anti-King James Bible. But he was at the same prophecy conference with me, and I think he was very agitated that I defended the King James. One of the gentlemen there, a pastor, came up to me, Brother Ruckman, and he said, "Tex, I bought from the book table of John Ankerberg here this little book, How to Witness to Jehovah's Witnesses." And in it, Dr. Ankerberg makes the point, and by the way, Dr. Ankerberg uses the NIV, makes the point that you can tell that the Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult, an ungodly cult, because in their New World Translation, in John 1, they add the pronoun a, and it becomes, of course, the word was a God. He said, Ankerberg says, this is the way to witness to Jehovah's Witness that their Bible is a false Bible. And that they're involved in a heretical organization. And he said, I went up to John Ankerberg, and I said, well, wait, Dr. Ankerberg, Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, in the King James, Nebuchadnezzar sees these three men walking in the flames, that were cast into the fiery furnace, but wait, there's a fourth there with them, and they're unhurt. And then Nebuchadnezzar makes this declaration or statement of faith, confession, whatever you want to call it, brother. And he says, that he was like that fourth man, fourth person, was like unto the Son of the living God.
That's right.
But, he said, Dr. Ankerberg, the NIV changes that. And it becomes the words, Nebuchadnezzar says that the fourth person is like unto a son of the gods, plural. He says, now, if I'm witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness and telling him, showing him that in John 1, his New World Translation is of the devil and evil because it makes Jesus, a God,
right.
And I've got the NIV in my hand trying to witness to him, what am I going to do when he grabs my NIV out of my hand and says, hey, let me show you what the NIV says in Daniel chapter 3, verses 24, 25, Jesus is a son of the gods.
Same type of Bible.
Yeah, and he said Dr. John Ankerberg could not give him an answer.
Well, there isn't an answer. The same type of Bible.
Oh, that's astonishing.
You mentioned the Spiros Zodiates. I've been in Bible concert with him up in Ohio and with some of the brethren, and I've seen his book table there with his little pamphlets on saying what the original Greek text says about repentance and what the original Greek text says about this and that. One day I stopped him on his table and I said, why do you say here in your pamphlet the original Greek text? You don't have any original Greek text.
Hmm.
And he said, well, we have the best Greek text. I said, which one's that? And he said, Nestle's.
Oh, no.
You ever checked the critical apparatus of Nestle's Greek New Testament? And he got kind of red in the face and said, well, Nestle's is acknowledged as the best text. And I said, do you understand or have you studied the critical apparatus in Nestle's Greek New Testament? And he hadn't. Now, Spiros Zodiates is a Greek-speaking, Greek-reading, Greek-writing Greek, and he couldn't even handle the material we teach our second-year students.
Goodness.
We teach our second-year students to take Nestle's the Greek Testament and go to the footnote and get all the readings from Von Zoden, from Westcott and Hort, from compare them with Syriac translations, Hartley and Peshitta, compare them with the Coptic, the Arminian versions. Why, Spiros couldn't handle his own, he couldn't handle his own text.
Well, you know, one of the things that I love about your bulletin, I have to tell you, I guess I have broken the 10th commandment, or I've broken maybe more than one commandment. I have coveted your some of the things in your newsletter. I shouldn't say coveted, but I said, God, you've given some inspiration to Brother Ruckman here. I wish I had inspiration like this. The Alexandrian cult. Every issue, you have the characteristics of the Alexandrian cult.
Yes, we put that in every issue.
It's almost humorous, if it wasn't so sad, in your being able to identify these people that say, oh, yes, we believe in the original manuscripts, the original Greek text. But as you point out, that would be an impossibility and really is irrelevant today. What is the Alexandrian cult?
Well, we said the Alexandrian cult referred to an educational conspiracy of scholars that begin in Alexandria, Egypt. And that's your first Christian school. People don't think about these things and don't read the Bible much, but there are no schools in the Bible. There was a school only occurs one time in the Book of Acts, not the school of Tyrannus, and not the school of an unsaved philosopher Paul preaches in. But there are no Christian schools in the Bible. And the first Christian school was established in Alexandria, at the University of Alexandria, and that Christian school was headed up by a man named Origen. There were some others connected with him, Clement and Philo. None of them have a clear testimony of their salvation. And Origen believes in all soul sleep and reincarnation and calling a local pastor, priest, and baptism, regeneration, God knows what. And that group is the one that begins to mess with the manuscripts and correct the Word of God. So we say they're the progenitors or ancestors, the sort of an apostolic line of corruption that extends from them down to higher education through the centuries. And that thing comes down through Jerome and then Augustine and then the popes, and that's where you get all your tradition correcting the Word of God. And then in the 19th century, it comes to a head in the RV Committee of 1881 of the Westcott Court, where a Jesuit Vatican text is smuggled into the committee, and a Roman Catholic Bible is produced that passes off as a Protestant Bible. And the Anglo Revision Committee there is Westcott and Hort in England in 1881, and Philip Schaff and Dr. Green in America in 1901. Now, what's happened, Brother Mars, is all the Christian schools after 1901, including Bob Jones, Tennessee Temple, I have the literature right here and documented, recommended the ASV of 1901 as superior to the King James.
The ASV, back in 1901?
1901.
Wow.
And the head of that committee was Dr. Philip Schaff, who was born out of Mercerburg, Pennsylvania, for pro-Catholic tendencies. And I have a book called The Last Grenade with all the correspondence, a book called Problem Text with all the correspondence, and Tennessee Temple and Bob Jones and John R. Rice and all these boys went right along with the ASV of 1901. And they went right along with the NASB of 1961. I published a book in 1961 called The New ASB, Satan's Masterpiece. And Gay Whitlinger did a much better job than I did in Satan's Masterpiece. I identified that book as coming from the devil, but I didn't tell why. Now, Whitlinger is unique in that she shows that these committees have what you call verbal inspiration. Well, she's proof and documentation when they sat down that some spirit in the committee led them in their choice of words. And that's going a bit further than I went.
So, well, you know, it's so interesting to me that there is an incredible smear campaign against Miss Ripplinger.
Oh, yeah.
This Christian Research Institute out of California, you know, began to state on their Bible Answer Man, sort of misnamed there, Brother Ruckman, their Bible Answer Man program.
Fellow named Hunt.
Excuse me?
Fellow named Hunt?
No, this is a guy named Hank Hanegraaff.
Hanegraaff, okay.
Hank Hanegraaff. You know, Walter Martin used to be ahead of that, and he died. And this Hanegraaff guy took over. Now, these guys are affiliated with Christianity Today, Chuck Colson and all of the evangelical crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. And they began to publish that Miss Ripplinger was lying about her credentials, that she didn't have any credentials at all, really, that she had never taught at Kent State University. Now, I must tell you that I had actually had in my hands the five university-level textbooks which Mrs. Ripplinger had authored. And not only that, but we called Kent State University, the Office of the Registrar, the personnel department. They confirmed to us that she had been a tenured professor of architecture, even gave us a list of the courses that she taught in the Department of Architecture. But you see, these people, to promote Roman Catholicism from the Christian Research Institute, so-called, on their Bible Answer Man program, evidently they had to invent a lie. Yeah. And, of course, they never considered the issues. You know, the things that you've mentioned, Westcott and Hart, the Jesuit connection, Philip Schaff.
Oh, yeah.
They won't debate those things. Like you say, they cannot. So they've got to try to smear the individual.
I've seen that little critique, and I got a man named Hunt who picked it up evidently from the ones that you mentioned.
Oh, yes. Now, Hunt, yeah, Dave Hunt, his The Berean Call. Exactly. Now, Hunt, by the way, claims now, you won't believe this, Dave Hunt claims that he never wrote that in his newsletter, that somebody else in his ministry put it in there, and he never saw it before it went to press. So now, you know, he's trying to, I guess, ride the fence. I want to ask you a question. Is there anything in all of the years you've been publishing the bulletin that I could call you up and say, hey, you've written this horrible, terrible article, Dr. Ruckman? Is there any time when you ever said, oh, I never knew that was even going to be in there? I'm not responsible for it being in my bulletin.
Oh, not if my name was on it.
Right. So, you know, there's Dave Hunt, I respect him in many ways. He did a great job, Seduction of Christianity, his book. But I'm praying that he will. By the way, one of the things that Dave Hunt says to me, he says, well, I do prefer the King James.
Oh, that's an old line, brother.
What do you think God thinks about people's preferences?
Well, the Bible says you're not your own, you're bought with a price. A slave has no preference. When people say go to the church of your choice, that's humanism.
Mm-hmm.
If a man is saved, he belongs to Christ, and his master decides where he goes to church and what he's to believe.
Oh, that's a good point. So, in other words, the Bible is not a matter of pro-choice.
Oh, no.
It's not like the abortion issue.
Out of the Holy Spirit bearing witness.
Oh, yeah. I see exactly what you mean. Well, you know, when we come back, we're going to have to go for a break in just a minute. We only got about another minute on this segment. I want to, by the way, please remind me, I want to tell folks how to get a hold of the bulletin, how to subscribe to that, and then maybe get a catalog of the many books you've written defending the King James, and also some other areas, because you've been warning people that Christ is coming again, Dr. Ruckman, and that's one of the areas where you're strong at, too. But also the Roman Catholic doctrines. And I guess in the short time we've got here, about 30 seconds before the break, do you think that these new versions have anything to do with the Vatican?
Well, they do in that they've chosen the text the Vatican would choose. And if you get a book called The Anglo Revision Committee by a man named Coy, C-O-Y, you'll find where when this ASB and new ASB came out, the Catholic priests and archbishops of America and Europe highly recommended the text.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't see a real problem with that, huh?
Well, they like the replacement.
Uh-huh. Well, I haven't heard anything said bad about the NIV by the Catholic bishops or the Vatican.
The reason why they should.
Mm-hmm. That's
from Vaticanus.
That is really, really interesting. Well, friends, my guest today is Dr. Peter Ruckman. He's the author of many books. He's a man that I love because he defends the very Word of God. I hope you'll also defend the Word of God. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. What do you know about the New Age Bible versions? Is there an occult conspiracy to pollute the Word of God? Well, I have here in my hands really an astonishing book. The book is written by Gail Ripplinger. The title, New Age Bible Versions. It's almost 700 pages full of charts, references, documentation about a New Age occult conspiracy to destroy the Word of God. Now, friends, there's no doubt that these are the last days, although we don't know the day nor the hour when Christ will come again. But certainly, if the devil could only pervert, twist, mangle, chop up, and distort the Word of God, what a great victory it would be for him. Now, of course, he can't do that because the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. And we have the King James Bible and other languages based on the Greek Textus Receptus are available. So there is no way that the devil can destroy the Word of God, but he can mislead the great multitudes into going after the Bibles of the beast. And that's what Gail Riplinger talks about in New Age Bible versions. Now, I want you to have a copy of this fabulous book. Now, for your love gift of $15 or more to the ministry, $15 for this book of around 700 pages, we'll be delighted to send you the Gail Riplinger book, New Age Bible Versions. You need this book to defend the King James Bible, and you need it to know the truth. How can you get it? Well, simply call us toll-free if you're in the continental United States at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us, World of Prophecy, 1708, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA, and send your check or money order for $15. Please add a couple of dollars, $2 or so, for postage and handling. Now, friends, even if you can't afford this book, let's just say you don't have the money, that's okay. I want you to have my recent issue of Flashpoint, where I talk about these new Bible versions and show how they're dangerously inaccurate. To get a free subscription, absolutely free to Flashpoint, all you have to do is just phone us or write us, and we'll be glad to send it to you. And if you want the one on the new Bible versions showing how they're inaccurate, be sure to ask for the June 94 edition. And until, you know, quantities are exhausted, we'll send you that. And we'll do that even if you don't have the money for the book. We want you to know the truth about God's Word. New Age Bible Versions by Gail Riplinger. Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." Discover the truth, my friends, and be free. And now let's return to World of Prophecy with today's guest, Dr. Peter Ruckman. Dr. Peter Ruckman, welcome to World of Prophecy, the second segment of the program.
All right.
Well, some people may be saying, well, now, what you're saying, Dr. Ruckman, is this is almost an occultic version, Westcott and Hort. It's a Catholic Jesuit version because the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus manuscripts were used that came out of the Vatican. But where are the problems? I mean, I thought all they were going to do is change the these and the thys and the thous. What could possibly be wrong with them updating this archaic old English language? What would your answer be?
The answer would be they're always pulling off these little gimmicks like it needs to be updated and brought up in modern language. But when you examine the truth, you know they're lying. For example, if they really meant that, then why have they put out 105 versions in 90 years? Are they telling you the King James, that the English language changes more than once a year? Here you have, here's a brief list, the Riverside, the Robertson, Moffat, Smith, Goodspeed, Gowan Psalms, Royd's Epistles, Spencer's, Dake's Gospels, Warren's New Testament, Burns, Mark, Fenton, 20th Century, New American, Weymouth, Montgomery, Westminster, Good News, Knox, Wamsutta, Cotton, Batch, William, New Jerusalem. Are they trying to say the English language changes every year? We don't believe it. Now, that isn't all. I hold 2 to 3 youth chance every year and have every year for almost 40 years, and the average bunch of people I've preached in the summer are between 15 and 25 years old. I've never used anything but a King James Bible. I've never had any trouble getting my point across at all.
Well, you know, it's so astonishing, but the new studies show that the King James is more easily understood than these false new versions.
It is, unless they pick a deliberately a passage that's complicated, which sometimes they'll do.
Well, what are some of the omissions and the perversions that you have found that really butcher the Word of God?
Well, there are a number of them. I'll try to limit myself to a few, but let me say before getting these, there's a psychology behind this thing. It's very simple. When the depraved nature of the saved sinner, or the Adamic nature of the saved man, or the Adamic nature of a lost man, or an unclean spirit in a demon-possessed man, all of them the same thing, when this happens, when they see any verse in the Bible they don't like, if they're educated, they want to change it. And we'll show you a little while why they changed the ones that they did. But for example, if I was a highly educated man, was proud of my education, I wouldn't tear open the Psalms where it says men of high degree are a lie. For example, if I was a woman stepping out on my husband, I certainly wouldn't want to read Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23. For example, if I was a sex pervert, I wouldn't want to spend a lot of time in Romans 1.
Mm-hmm.
In plain words, there are verses in the Bible like a two-edged sword, and they cut and lacerate and hurt people who aren't right. And when an educated man finds these verses, the first thing he thinks of is, how can I go to the Greek or Hebrew and fix this verse up so it's not aimed at me?
I see.
And when there's a motive behind this thing, and it's disguised as, please update it, make it clear. And of course, that isn't the reason. The reason is we want to cover up the truth. Now, here are the main verses. There are about five or six verses that any Christian can use without knowing Hebrew or Greek, without knowing anything about the Jesuit Rings Bible of 1582, without knowing anything about manuscript evidence. He doesn't have to know anything about Iota subscriptum or circumflex accents or anything else. They make a lot of fun of Ripley because of her lack of formal biblical education, but that's neither here nor there. You don't have to know that. In other words, you don't have to know that sewage is, you don't have to go down to the sewer to know that sewage is dirty.
That's right.
And see what comes out of the river. So here are the verses. Now, if you want to find out whether the Bible is of the Lord or not, you simply pick it up, and the first verse you look at would be 2 Corinthians 2:17.
2 Corinthians 2:17.
Which says some people corrupt the Word of God. If a man is busy corrupting the Word of God, he will get rid of that word corrupt as quickly as he can get rid of it.
Uh-huh.
All the new Bibles get rid of it, including the New King James.
Wow.
Another place you pick up is 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. If you're dealing with a man who's after money and sales and royalties, he will not want to see that thing as it stands, so he'll change it. It's been changed in every Bible in the market, including the New King James and the New International.
Are you saying that 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, that's actually been changed by these false versions?
Can't find that verse in any English Bible but a King James Bible. And when many of these people talk about King James onlyism and talk to you like that's some kind of a heresy, they're not telling you the truth. The truth is the King James Bible now is the only English version where you can find scores of these verses, and that's one of them.
Well, you know, Jesus talked about that you must choose between God and mammon.
Yes.
That's money. That was very, very profound. And there, 1 Timothy 6:10 is an affirmation of what Jesus Christ said about money, and they've taken it out.
They messed it up.
Keep going. Okay, let's go to the third verse.
The one right before that is even worse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, some folks suppose that gain is godliness, from such turn away. Now, if a man is translating that who's thought that his increase in attendance or enrollment or income was proof that he was godly, if he saw that, he'd have a heart attack, so he'd change it. That has been changed in all the Bibles. You can only find one Bible that says to turn away from people who think that gain is godliness. Or now another one you check, is 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 is the only verse in the New Testament that tells anybody to study the Bible. Christ says search the scripture, but the only time the word study occurs is 2 Timothy 2:15. It had been removed from everything in the market. The NIV doesn't have it. And the New King James begins study and then removes the command to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 tells a Christian what is to do, how is to do it, and why is to do it. He is to study, and he is to rightly divide. That's how he is to study. And he is to do it to show himself approved unto God. That's why he is to study. And that verse has been messed with every Bible in the market except the King James.
Wow. Boy, you're right. I can, if I were the devil, I'd sure want to get rid of that one, wouldn't you?
That one stands.
Yeah.
Or another couple more. 1 Timothy 3:16. That's on the incarnation. If the Bible doesn't have the word God in that verse, it's an attack on the greatest verse in the Bible, the incarnation. The next one is Luke 2:33. If Luke 2:33 says his father and his mother, instead of Joseph and his mother, then somebody is trying to convince you that Christ's human father was Joseph. That's one. Now, there are many, many others, but those are four or five that a person could pick up and check immediately and tell what they're dealing with.
Well, how about the Lord's Prayer? What do you feel about the...
The ending of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6:13 is missing from Sinaiticus Adonicanus, which says, "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And it's missing because in the Catholic story about the Lord's Prayer, which, as you know, is the disciples' prayer, Christ says, when you pray, Our Father. Christ never says, Our Father. He says, My Father or Father, but never Our. If Christ said, Our Father, he'd be classifying himself to the disciples.
Mm.
So he tells the disciples, when ye pray, say, Our Father. Now, that's the famous Paternoster. That's the famous Our Father of the Catholic Church. And what they don't like about that last verse is, the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever belong not just to God, but to the Jewish people. Christ said to Jewish disciples, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And you'll find that thing back in Solomon's dedicatory prayer of the temple back in 1 Chronicles. And that connects the literal kingdom for the nation of Israel instead of Rome.
So we have the new Jerusalem that's going to come down, right?
Yep.
There's a real lineage there and a confirmation in God's Word. Well, how about back to this Lord's Prayer? I think that is so vital. How about the words, but deliver us from evil? You know, I understand they're out of the NIV too. They've been removed. And isn't that interesting? The devil doesn't want us to pray to God to deliver us from evil.
Well, they believe it so much, you take a omnibus to list it.
That's true.
Example I have here, seven words missing from Ephesians 5:30, seven missing from Galatians 3, seven missing from 1 Corinthians 6:20, 30 missing from Acts 24:6, 16 missing from Acts 28, and that's less than one-tenth of the list. That actually comes in the whole thing. It actually comes to an omission of more than 500 words.
So in other words, we're not talking about the these and the thys, right?
No.
This is substantial and significant.
Well, that's an alibi. They don't go to the hymnal and change the hymnal. They're still standing in that church singing, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine." And they're still standing singing, "Oh, my God, how great thou art." They're just lying.
You know, this one of these ministries, so-called, that calls itself Alpha and Omega, or some guy named, his last name is White. I don't know anything about the man, but he's been attacking Miss Riplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions. It's so interesting to me. I went to the book of Revelation. Now, here's the name of this fella's ministry, Alpha and Omega. And I went to Revelation 1, verse 1, Dr. Ruckman, and there it is, of course, in the King James Version, Jesus Christ, I am the Alpha and the Omega. But in the NIV, it's missing. And I'm trying to figure out, it's almost funny, this guy would call his ministry, so-called, Alpha and Omega, and where does he get it from, since he rejects the King James?
I can get it from the book he's using.
That's right. I mean, his whole ministry is based on what he says is a lie. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, he says one of the things wrong with her book is they're misspelled words. And throughout his little bitty dissertation, this guy of Alpha and Omega misspells Riplinger's name. He spells her first name G-A-Y-L-E, which is incorrect. It's like you said about Bob Ross and these folks and Curtis Hudson. It's almost as if God makes them err so that it will be demonstrated that they're deceivers.
Say, my standard cliche is when a man messes with the book, God messes with his mind.
Oh, wow. Say that again.
When a man messes with the book, God messes with his mind.
Isn't that something?
It'll work.
Oh, I...
Something about Riplinger's critics now. They criticize her for misquotes, and occasionally she does. And spelling, we all hear spelling, and we have to proofread. And they criticize her for skipping pages and quotes or something. They're not getting prepositions right, which is possible under some conditions. But there are two very important things. The first one is when they talk about her misquoting a fellow to sort of misrepresent him, they don't say what the fellow actually believes.
Ah.
Or they'll say, well, Riplinger misquoted this fellow to make you think he'd be such and such. But they didn't tell you what he did believe, and the truth is he believed exactly what Riplinger said he believed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second thing is, in the matter, with all this criticism of her work, not one of them has yet attacked her thesis. And if Gail would stick to her thesis, she'd make out a lot better. She could let some kind of draw off into other things. But her thesis is that when these committees met, there were unclean spirits present who dictated a choice of words that would match occult literature. That's her thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen one of them attack the thesis.
They can't do it, and so they've got to have these non-issues. Now, I have found that most of these people attacking her, Dr. Ruckman, and the book, I can understand why, they are of the Reformed movement. They don't believe in Bible prophecy. Many of them are amillennialists.
That's right.
Postmillennialists at best.
Yep, that's the scholars.
And evidently, Dr. Edwin Palmer, he was a Reformed church. You know, I find it interesting, in Acts 8:37, that's omitted from the New Versions, where it talks about the Ethiopian eunuch asking, what would prevent him from being baptized.
Oh, yeah.
And then he makes, this confession of faith. It's interesting that if a Palmer and many of the translation folks on the NIV committee, the New International Version Committee, if they don't believe in salvation through faith, that they would not like that verse to be in there, right?
Right.
There's a verse where it basically says, if you believe, if you have faith, and the guy says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There he demonstrated his faith. He confessed it.
Yep.
And they took him right down and baptized him.
Well, that verse is missing from Vaticanus.
Isn't that something? And hasn't the Catholic Church, what have they always taught about faith?
Yeah.
Folks, we're talking with Dr. Peter Ruckman. We're going to continue in just a minute, but I wanted to just stop for a moment and tell you that I've got in my hands a copy of the catalog published by the Bible Baptist Bookstore. Now, that's a part of Dr. Peter Ruckman's ministry. This is the 93-94 Bible Baptist Bookstore Catalog, and it has some resources in here, my friends, that you need. For example, a new set of visual illustrations, Ruckman's Apocalypse, has many books by Dr. Ruckman, King James Onlyism versus Scholarship Onlyism, Memoirs of a 20th Century Circuit Rider, Full Cup, How to Teach Dispensationalist Truth. There are cassette tapes, Bible study tapes, videos. You might want to order the video, A Predestinated Failure by Bob Ross, put out by the Bible Baptist Bookstore. Now, there is a phone number here. I'm going to give you the phone number now and the address if you'd like a copy of this bookstore catalog. It's going to be a great blessing. The Lion of the Bible. That's one of the books that I read of Dr. Ruttman some years ago, and it greatly influenced me. And the reason it did is because the Holy Spirit convicted me to stand up for His Word from reading Dr. Ruttman's book. You'll want to get a copy of that book as well. They're all in this catalog. Here's the phone number, friends. Write it down. Area code 904-477-8812. Now, again, that's area code 904-477-8812. You can write to Bible Baptist Bookstore, P.O. Box 7135, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Now, I understand, too, that they have a 1-800 number. Hey, save yourself a little bit of money here, but save it for buying the books and tapes in the catalog. The phone number is 1-800. I think that's, Dr. Ruttman, looked like 659. Is that right? 800-659? Yeah, 659-1478. 1-800-659-1478. Dr. Ruttman, if they wanted a complimentary copy of the Bulletin newsletter, how can they get that?
Well, they'd send it to them.
All they have to do is just say, hey, I'd like the Bulletin?
They'd send them.
All right. Is there a subscription price for that?
I wouldn't know what it'd be. I write the stuff and they publish it.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, you just asked for at least a complimentary copy for that. You read it. If the Holy Spirit guides you, you subscribe to it. It'll have instructions right on the newsletter. But I'll tell you, it will bless your life. Now, that was an unsolicited ad here on World of Prophecy, Dr. Ruttman.
Yeah.
You didn't ask me to do that, but I wanted folks to know, because this is, I believe, you know, I've written number one best-selling books, Exposing the New Age Movement. My newest book is Big Sister is Watching You, Exposing the Clintons. I must tell you, I'm embarrassed. I feel like that I have not done enough, and I feel very inadequate.
Oh, but you've done what God has equipped me to do, brother. Now, we handle your books here at the bookstore, and that thing is Big Sister from Isaiah 3:12, Women Rule Over Me. That thing from on Big Sister, that's one of the best things that's been done.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, but I'm going to do more to defend the Bible, and you really have stood up to. Buffeting the hornets of hell, it appears like you can come against anything, pornography, abortion, hey, even the Clintons, but the hornets of hell won't really come out against you unless you defend the King James Bible. Isn't that something? That tells you what's hurting the devil more than anything, right?
That's what the government's trying to get rid of.
Wow, the government?
Yes, sir. Out of the schools, eventually out of the churches.
Oh, I see what you mean. That's exactly right. Well, you know, if Satan wants to get rid of the Bible, I wonder, you know, Isaiah 14, verse 12, the word Lucifer.
Yes.
It's evidently not there in the NIV Bible, the identification of Satan as Lucifer.
They identify Satan there as Jesus Christ.
As Jesus Christ. Little mix-up there, I suppose, huh?
A little trouble there. God messed with the mind.
Wow.
That word is a Latin word, Lux Fero. It simply means a light bearer. It doesn't mean morning star.
Well, of course, Jesus, we know him as the bright and the morning star.
Yes, he's certainly not Lucifer.
Yeah, and there is Isaiah. And, of course, you follow on, and it states that the destiny of this particular entity, I don't want to call him a person, an angel, is the pit.
Cast down to hell.
Well, I think Jesus visited down there once, Dr. Ruttman, but he didn't stay too long, and I don't think the devil liked to see him. What do you think?
Yeah, that's it.
So that's not quite his destiny. You know, another thing, I've had people come up to me and they said, well, but you don't understand, Tex Mars. I mean, the King James translators added words. What do you say to these people?
That's a theory of textual transmission. What that means is when a scribe transmits and copies a text, does he tend to add or subtract to the text? And one of the dogmas of higher criticism and textual criticism is that a man will tend to add to the text. However, in the word by one with Pickering called the Identity of the New Testament text. He shows that when any scribe copies the work, his tendency is always to subtract, not to add. And after you've written a bunch of books, and I've written about 120 of them, and had to proofread them myself, I know the tendency is to subtract. Your tendency is always to overlook a word, overlook a line. So when it comes to manuscript evidence, what they're doing, they're saying that these manuscripts that subtracted the words are the correct ones, and the King James text added them. Our position is they were in the text, and the devil omitted them.
Mm. Well, you know, I was trying to figure this out, because here the gentleman is telling me the King James translators added words. And I was trying to think of the words, these mean old devil-led people from the King James era put in. I mean, they put in words like Christ and through his blood and take up the cross. I'm trying to figure out, if these people were led by the devil, why would they want to add words like the blood of Christ?
Yeah.
Isn't that, it's almost humorous, isn't it?
Well, the Greek text the King James comes from has those words in it in the Greek text.
Amen. All right. Well, it's just absolutely incredible. Let me ask you a question here. Do you think that the devil's going to be successful?
Temporarily.
Temporarily.
He can't obliterate it completely. Professor Pinkovich of the USSR said back in 1929, something very important. He said, the world is getting too small for the book. Either the book will have to go or the world will have to go.
Now, that's a real, either the book or the world.
And what they're doing right now is they're trying to get rid of the book and replace the world. They'll do it for about 7 years in the tribulation, and then the word will come right back in part, and the book will be in business again. They can't get rid of the book.
Have you noticed a grassroots movement? Do you think the Holy Spirit is reviving the King James today? You know, it's really been under assault the last decade or so.
Yes, very definitely.
So you're seeing that in your ministry? More and more people are coming over to the King James.
There's a groundswell, and there's a split line among the fundamentalists.
Well, praise Jesus. I'm delighted to hear that. That's exactly what I've experienced.
Just before we go off there, I want to tell you about one thing that I knew whether you about or not, but I debated with the head of the NIV committee in Fort Myers nearly 4 years ago. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, brother.
That's on video. We have that.
You have that on video?
Well.
Okay, friends, you've got to get that video. That's 1-800-659-1478 here in the continental United States. My friends, I'll tell you, this is the issue of our lifetimes, the issue of any lifetime, because God's word is forever settled in heaven. Jesus said that the word cannot be broken. The law cannot be broken. Well, Dr. Ruckman, I want to thank you for the privilege of your being our guest on World of Prophecy today.
Well, I'm good.
It was just a pleasure, and I hope you will honor us by coming on again in the future and defending the word of God.
I'd be glad to.
All right. My friends, Jesus Christ is coming again today. Dr. Peter Ruckman knows that. I know it, and the Bible tells us so. Each week, right here on this same radio station, you tune in. Tune in and discover a world of prophecy.
You've been listening to World of Prophecy with your host, Tex Moore.